I've been reading the news these last several weeks with a great deal of heartache, as I'm sure many of you have as well. On the days when violence seems to shatter joy and despair does rise like a monster, where do we find that strength and that spiritual courage to open our hearts with love? Beautiful words, but how do we do it? In times when I struggle to see the possibilities for the future, I find myself reflecting on images and symbols and traditions from the past, looking to the human story that has evolved across the generations, a human story that has been full of despair and of violence and of love. And I wonder, what insights can it provide for the future? One of the most important stories from our Jewish and Christian heritage is the story of the Exodus, when Moses and the Israelite people wandered in the desert for those 40 years on a slow journey from slavery in Egypt to an unknown future, 40 years of the unknown. And during these journeys, when the group would set up camp, Moses would go to the edge of camp, and there he would pitch a tent of meeting, a place where he would go to speak face to face with God. And this is the image I have been turning to, this image of the tent of meeting. See, before there was a stone temple in the city of Jerusalem, there was this tent of meeting, a traveling sacred space, an impermanent and portable and flexible sacred space where a nomadic community in the midst of a time of great uncertainty, unprecedented uncertainty, could go and meet the holy and speak face to face with God. In our 21st century world, our world of skyscrapers and stone buildings and so much that seems permanent and so much that we want to control, we need tents of meeting spaces. We need places where we can come together in times of uncertainty and meet the holy and gain that strength to open our hearts with love. We live in an increasingly transient culture where people may not live in the same community their whole lives, much less hold the same job. We need places where we can nonetheless feel a sense of belonging. In a world where we don't even know what our planet will look like in 30 years, much less our congregations, we need places that inspire hope and courage. In those biblical descriptions of the Exodus journey, the tent of meeting serves two functions. First, the tent of meeting is a place where Moses and the other leaders go to speak with God. It's an oracle. They come with questions. And in the tent of meeting, it's a space of prophecy where these leaders become prophets. But the tent of meeting, it's also a sanctuary, a sacred space where God dwells in the midst of the people, at the edge of their camp and the unknown. It's a place where people can seek refuge. The tent of meeting is a prophetic sanctuary. Theologian Walter Brueggemann has described the Exodus story as the foundational story for the prophetic imagination. In this story, the culture of oppression and exploitation that the Israelites experienced in Egypt, it's slowly replaced by a new social order, an order bound together by a new covenant, a new understanding of community. And Brueggemann described the task of prophetic ministry as twofold in nature. First, prophetic ministry criticizes the old culture of oppression and exploitation. And second, the prophetic ministry energizes a new culture of justice and of compassion. He writes, "Real criticism begins in the capacity to grieve, because that is the most visceral announcement that things are not right. Bringing hurt to public expression is an important first step in the dismantling criticism that permits new reality, theological and social, to emerge." He continues, "The task of prophetic imagination and ministry is to bring to public expression those very hopes and yearnings that have been denied so long and suppressed so deeply that we no longer know they are there. The hope-filled language of prophecy is the language of amazement. It is a language that engages the community in new discernments and celebrations just when it has nearly given up and had nothing to celebrate. The language of amazement is against the despair, just as the language of grief is against the numbness." Grief and hope. Our world needs places of prophetic sanctuary, places where we can gather to express that grief, express our fears, our doubts, those questions, and connect with the sacred that dwells within, between, and beyond us all, even in that grief, wherever we might be on our journeys, our wandering, whatever deserts we're in. We need prophetic sanctuaries that are places where we can also gather in amazement with our hopes and our dreams and our ideas, where we can exercise the moral imagination and see our way through to work for justice, for equity, for compassion. So on times when I am reading the news, I have to remind myself of when and where I have seen those prophetic sanctuaries, when and where I have seen grief and hope expressed together. And for me, some of these prophetic sanctuaries have been under actual tents. I think of a small handful of Unitarian Universalist justice leaders that were sitting in a tent in April on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. They were sitting in a tent alongside Latino women from the campaign We Belong Together, Women for Common Sense Immigration Reform. And these women in April, they spent 48 hours together. They were fasting and they were advocating for their cause. They spent 48 hours together singing, creating a bond of fellowship that gave them the strength to take their prophetic voice, their voice of grief and hope, up to the Capitol and advocate for change. I think of the faith and spirituality tent in Dewey Square during Occupy Boston, a tent that was a place of refuge, a place where people of any, of all, of no faith traditions could come together. They could light a candle, they could share a prayer, they could sit in that silent meditation, they could speak with a protest chaplain. The presence of that faith and spirituality tent showed, not just showed, but embodied that the religious and the spiritual is part of the movement of change, even in the 21st century. And I think of the No More Deaths migrant aid tents in Arizona-Mexico borderlands, places where people of faith and conscience provide food and water and emergency medical care to immigrants who are walking through those literal deserts. Tents that provide respite and refuge for those in need of healing, and tents where humanitarian aid volunteers from across the country took up the prophetic cry that something is not right. And they joined in the prophetic ministry of offering hope at least in those spaces. So in these tents of meeting, in these prophetic sanctuaries, people have gathered to meet with the holy. Probably not as a pillar of smoke that comes down from on high. In these tents, people meet the holy that is found in hearing one another's stories and having one another's stories be heard. And the holy is found in these simple acts of love and compassion that affirm, yes, we are connected. We are in this interdependent web of life together. And friends, I believe that our Unitarian Universalist faith calls us to create these spaces of prophetic sanctuary where people can take refuge from the storms of bigotry and hate, where people can be reminded of their inherent worth, and we are also called to use our public and prophetic voice to cry out in grief that things are not right, and to work for a world of justice and equity and compassion where that feeling of sanctuary and that feeling of refuge is not confined to these walls. I've seen us create these spaces of prophetic sanctuary. I think especially of the work that we've done as a faith community around lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer rights. In this movement, we've worked hard to become welcoming congregations, to have the spaces within our walls be loving and affirming and safe, where people can bring their full selves with whatever celebration on the brink of despair they might have, places of belonging. But we haven't only created sanctuaries within our walls. We've advocated for change, and we have made a difference. And we've even used our physical spaces. We've played with our physical spaces as internal and public spaces. I think of the pictures that I saw on our website, our USG website, of the celebration you had in May right out here at the edges of our property on the streets of Lincoln Drive at the height of rush hour to celebrate marriage equality in Pennsylvania. I think of my congregation that I currently serve in Quincy, Massachusetts. It's a massive stone temple at the center of town, and in 2006, they hung a 30-something foot banner across the front of that building, proclaiming people of faith for marriage equality. I think of all those rainbow flags outside our buildings that move people and heal people, whether or not they ever come through our doors. So we have done good work here to be a prophetic sanctuary, and we have more work to do. Let us return to that image of the tent of meeting as a portable, impermanent, prophetic sanctuary. Over time, that portable tent of meeting, it became a fixed and exclusive sanctuary within the temple in Jerusalem, a sanctuary that only the high priest was allowed to enter, and even then only at certain times of the year. So the tent of meeting, it's an inspiring image, but it is also a cautionary tale, a tale of how our dreams can be embodied in a place and then fixed in that place, how we can become comfortable in these sanctuaries, and how hard it is and yet important it is to keep exercising those prophetic cries of grief, of lamentation, that enable us to criticize systems of oppression and injustice, that challenge us to think about where we are in those stories in the present. Unitarian Universalist minister and scholar Rebecca Parker, she writes about the theology embedded within progressive congregations. Congregations, she says, can be communities of resistance, countercultural habitations in which people learn ways to survive and thrive that can resist and sometimes even transform an unjust dominant culture. Congregations can provide an embodied experience of covenant and commitment among people. They can foster freely chosen and life-sustaining interdependence. Our religious communities, they can be a tent of meeting, places where we meet the holy face to face within the life-sustaining community within and beyond our walls. This has become a popular saying in Unitarian Universalism. Those of you who were at General Assembly have heard it, congregations and beyond. We have traditions that bridge this gap. I think of the tradition of worship in a bag that holds a chalice and an altar cloth and a hymnal, so that worship can be created anytime, anywhere, from college campuses to family road trips to a hospice bedroom. And I think of those Unitarian Universalists from across the country and even the world who earlier this summer lovingly packed up their banners, the symbols of their community, and traveled to Providence for General Assembly. I think of the workshops and the worships that all those UUs attended together, where we employed that prophetic language of grief and of hope to think about the ways in which our world is broken, the ways in which we are part of that, and the ways in which we can heal that. And I think of the 100-plus faith leaders and community organizers who were arrested just this past Thursday in Washington, D.C., in an act of civil disobedience in front of the White House, as part of a campaign to end deportations and work for humane immigration reform grounded in love rather than fear. And as many of you know, our own Reverend Kent Mathias was among those arrested. I was with the supporters, so I have pictures. And he went off to jail on that day with a stole draped around his shoulders, surrounded by loving supporters and by prayer and with song. Before the arrest, there was an interfaith prayer service. After people were released, there was a shared dinner. So on that day where people risked arrest, there was still an atmosphere of refuge and sanctuary. Sanctuary was present in the midst of that prophetic witness. And finally, I think of the loving faces of greeters who volunteer at their congregations on Sunday mornings. Such an ordinary act, it seems, yet they arrive with hearts open in love in the midst of the busyness, the heartache, the hope of their own lives. They arrive with faces that say, whoever you are, wherever you are on your journey, you are welcome here. Friends on the journey, in times of change, may we nourish spaces of prophetic sanctuary where people can name their grief and know that their stories are heard. In times of change, may we nourish spaces of prophetic sanctuary where we can name our hopes and know that we have the freedom and the responsibility to work for change, to act on those hopes. In times of change, may we gather with one another to encounter that sacred Unitarian Universalist truth that we are all worthy of love, that we are all able to love. And may that love guide us to face the fears and the possibilities of the unknown. May it be so. Amen and blessed be.